So if you look at the efficacy of the vaccine, certainly the only country in the world that I think has published this data is the UK, the most extensive data on this. January last year, and looking at the Omicron strain, how much benefit do you get from the vaccine according to age group? And even the highest risk group with the highest benefit potentially from the vaccine, you have to vaccinate 2,500 people over the age of 70 to prevent one of them being hospitalized with COVID. That means best case scenario, your benefit is one in 2,500 if you're over 70. If you get to under 40s, you're talking about over 150,000 people need to be vaccinated. What about the harms? In the short term, so this is likely, again, underestimate because over time there are more harms that can occur with time. But in the short term, the original trials of Pfizer and Moderna were reanalyzed by some of the world's top scientists. They published in the journal Vaccine, peer-reviewed, highest impact journal for vaccines globally. And they found, reanalyzing Pfizer and Moderna's data with new information from Health Canada's website and from the FDA, that the serious adverse event rate, specifically life-changing event, hospitalization or disability, was at a rate of 1 in 800. And that was actually replicated in Norway, where they actually looked in the real world, where doctors making a diagnosis, even despite all of the mindset and the thinking that this was safe, that was almost 1 in 1,000 of serious adverse events after 2 doses. And this is very early on in the pandemic, in the rollout. So this is likely accurate in the short term. And the other issue, which has become more prevalent recently, and this is not my area of expertise, but I defer to potentially probably the world leading researcher when it comes to being an expert in oncology and in immunology and in vaccine development. His name is Professor Angus Dalgleish from St. George's Hospital in London. Very well-respected, eminent oncologist, written textbooks on these issues, you know, these particular specialities. And he's been very clear that certainly with boosters in his own patients who have been in remission from cancer, there's been an acceleration and relapse of cancer because of immune system dysfunction, which we know the vaccines can do, especially if you take several of them. The unfortunate news is that it's not probably just confined to boosters. It's even people who have had 1 or 2 doses could be at an increased risk. So this is horrific. It's so horrific that for someone like me, and I understand we have to be very tempered because and not let our emotions get the better of us because we kind of we're trying to have conversations with people who are not fully aware. And we just have to think, understand why this happened, how it happened, and what we can do moving forward. But these are all structural failures, lack of transparency in the system. Big Pharma have been doing this for many years with other drugs, but we've seen the worst failings of the medical system through the rollout of the COVID vaccine. It's overwhelming. The evidence, and it's so overwhelming. I'm going to give some context here because I was in Iceland in 2016. I was invited to speak at a conference called Food Loose. I was on, I can't remember the name, but I was on your mainstream channel here being interviewed.
I remember.
Right? I think the name of the journalist is Johanna. I think it was her. Okay. And I met the First Lady of Iceland, Dorit Musaev, who was the kind of chief guest. We became very good friends. She also still talks to me regularly. She asked me for medical advice. I'm sure she doesn't mind if I tell you this. Okay. So she trusts my judgment completely. I also specifically told her once she'd had, you know, not to have any more vaccines and she listened to me. Okay. So this is exclusive for you now. Maybe this will hit the mainstream news. She trusts me and I explained why. But the main discussion or the main reason I was invited for Food Loose was to discuss my advocacy on sugar. And I am considered in the UK the lead campaigner behind raising awareness on sugar's harms, going back over 10 years, and influencing policy change, including a sugary drinks tax. I did that through my own analyses and looking at the published research and putting things together and writing it up in medical journals. The level of data suggesting significant harm from the COVID vaccine is higher than the level of data for sugar. If I'm wrong about the vaccine, I'm even more wrong about sugar, and everybody from tomorrow should start gorging as much sugar as possible because it's not going to cause a problem. For me, Frosty, and no one has been able to argue against me so far. I'm happy for a debate, but no one has come up with any rebuttal to this. For me, in my view, that's very clear. This vaccine, COVID vaccine, should not have been approved for use in a single human being. Forget about kids or whatever else, mandates. No one should have taken this from the beginning. If the system was more transparent, if the data had been independently analyzed at the beginning, it would not have reached approval. It would never have been approved.